Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, folks. I'm Roland Martin, broadcasting live from the Foxwood Casinos here in Connecticut, site of the 6th annual Jeffrey Osborne Classic. Next on News One Now, Lazy in Chief. That is what Newsweek is calling President Donald Trump. He goes on a 17-day vacation, but of course, this is the same president who trashed President Barack Obama continuously for taking vacation days, when in fact, Donald Trump is actually going to surpass 8 years of President Obama in just his first 7 months of office. And so we will, of course, talk about that with our panel. Arizona Senator Jeff Flake has some tough words for his own party, saying that they should have pushed back harder against those who were driving the birther issue, like the guy who's now the Republican president. But Flake, is he being a hypocrite because of who he voted for the federal bench? Another birther. Also, Colin Kaepernick still not signed by the NFL. The Miami Dolphins signed the sorry Jay Cutler yesterday to a one-year, $10 million contract. Should black folks and others boycott the NFL? We'll talk with ESPN's Bomani Jones. Also, police officers, they are being rehired all across the country, even though they've been accused of official misconduct. We'll break down a new report in the Washington Post. On the show, Jeffrey Osborne is here, the great Jeffrey Osborne. We'll talk about his charity, what he is raising money for. Folks, we've got a jam-packed show. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One.
If I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave?
There won't be time to go on vacations. There won't be time to go golfing all the time.
I'm not going to play much golf because there's a lot of work to be done. You need leadership. Yeah. You know, you can't fly to Hawaii to play golf.
I don't know where the president was. He wasn't very far away. Maybe he was playing golf.
Obama, it was reported today, played 250 rounds of golf.
Obama went golfing every day. Let Obama go play golf every day.
Obama plays more golf than professional players on the PGA Tour.
Really, folks, that is, of course, the person who's lazy in chief, President Donald Trump, who constantly criticized President Barack Obama for taking vacations, playing golf during his 8 years as president. Yet now Trump is on a 17-day vacation, even though he said, oh my God, I will never take a vacation because I have too much work to do. Then, of course, he lied about that by saying, oh, he tweeted out something, oh, I'm going to be taking meetings and doing phone calls. But the White House will not release a record of what he's actually doing. President Trump has already spent 4 weekends at his 535-acre property, 45 miles west of New York City, since taking office. Aides are calling it a working vacation. And Trump himself tweeted, working in Bedminster, New Jersey, as long-planned construction being done at the White House. This is not a vacation, meetings and calls. But again, they won't release his schedule. But yesterday, Trump was spotted playing golf at his New Jersey course, and folks, someone there posted it on Twitter. The people at Newsweek, they got it right, okay? This is their cover. They depict Trump on a recliner eating junk food entitled Lazy Boy. It reads, Donald Trump is bored and tired. Imagine how bad he'd feel if he did any work. The controversy swirling around the Trump presidency, many of his own making, and his failure to get any victories in Congress, including on health care, have taken their toll on Trump's approval ratings. The latest Quinnipiac University poll shows Trump's job performance has dropped significantly, with just 33% of voters approving while 61% disapprove. A 7% decline since June. Now, guess what? President Obama's approval ratings never were that low. Trump, you lose again. Even support from non-white, non-college-educated voters, those who love Donald Trump, has dropped, with just 43% approving of his job performance and 50% disapproving, a 10% drop since June. But guess what? Trump would not send that tweet out. You know, he loves polls showing him being great, but he won't retweet this poll. Joining us from D.C. is Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Also our panel, A. Scott Bolden, legal analyst and former chair of D.C. Democratic Party, Lawn Victoria Burke, political analyst and writer for NBC Black, Eugene Craig III, CEO of the Eugene Craig Organization, Republican out of Maryland. All right, I want to go to you first, Rick. Again, when President Obama was criticized for playing golf, look, I thought it was stupid. I was often on CNN. But this is the difference, I believe, when you talk about Donald Trump. This is a guy who constantly trashed President Obama. This is the guy who said, I'm not going to be sitting here out playing golf. I have too much work to do. He didn't even wait the first weekend. I mean, he literally has spent more time on the course in 7 months than Obama likely spent in 8 years.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think what's startling in this is the hypocrisy and the previous criticism. Not the act. Look, if he wants to play golf, I think presidents deserve their downtime and be able to get it how they want. I'm also struck by how defensive the president is about this. You didn't really hear President Obama respond to that. He just said, look, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm the president of the United States. Trump, who's pretty comfortable in his own skin, you'd think, around these things, is out there saying, look, I'm not on vacation. I'm working, even though, as you said, he's pointed out to be on the golf course over the weekend, and there are no public events scheduled at all today, we're told by the White House.
And Rick, also, what is the trip here when it comes to Donald Trump? Not only does he lie about that, the White House won't even say, okay, what work is he doing? They pretty much hide it. Look, even when the press pool, they won't even often tell the press pool on weekends he's actually going to the golf course.
Yeah, it's odd, and it seems needless to me. I mean, look, if he's going to be on the course, he's going to be on the course. We're going to take pictures of him. That's fine. It is what it is. But look, this is a strange time in this presidency. About halfway through the first year, we've seen the last couple of weeks they lost a communications director, they lost a press secretary, they lost a chief of staff, they lost a health care bill. It's a time for a reset, and the fact that the White House is vacant, the Oval Office empty for a little while, may give them that opportunity. I think a normal president would be talking that way, that maybe this break is that, but I don't think anyone thinks that Donald Trump is really eager for a remake. He's tweeting again this morning about how successful his presidency has been. It doesn't seem like they're even acknowledging the problems to use this break as a chance to reset.
Well, he's doing that. His son is tweeting that. Ivanka is out here saying, oh, we've created 1 million net jobs, even though they've been averaging 179,000 new jobs since he became president. Obama averaged 199,000. And so he loves talking about fake news. No, this is a fake presidency. They literally want to act as if we're all dumb and we don't also read.
Well, look, I think they're used to statistics and all kinds of misleading claims is well documented. And that's part of what we see now. He has redefined what's normal when it comes to communication. Then they're very lightly sourced or sometimes not sourced at all. And he has said things as president that are just patently not true. But I think the broader issue that he's confronting now is that you have fewer and fewer Republicans willing to go along with the agenda. I talked to one House Republican leader last week who said, look, the problem isn't that we don't have any wins. We have them, but they're really small, whereas we've had really big losses. And I'm seeing a Congress that's moving along as if the president really isn't relevant. He's secondary to their actions. And I think that's when he goes back and appeals to the base. You saw him last week in West Virginia. The fact is, he gets received better in West Virginia than he does in his own West Wing.
Well, that's also what happens when you got a whole bunch of people in West Virginia who are clueless of what's about going on. And again, they're all excited, but they're the same people getting screwed with the opioid crisis. And of course, they are blind to that. Rick Klein, ABC News political director. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, Roland.
Let's go to our panel here. Eugene, look, this is a lazy man. I mean, he trashed President Obama all the time, but Obama worked. This guy is lazy. He doesn't want to be president. All he wants to do is play golf. He lied to the American people. He kept trashing the president for President Obama for what he was doing. No, how about you do some damn work, Donald Trump?
I mean, look, you know, health care failure. You know, hopefully this tax package is going to come through. You know, I have more faith in Congress than I do in the White House. I've held that position from day one. You know, and it's actually, you know, I think little inter-party fighting is actually good right now. You know, Donald Trump, you know, to a degree, you know, he's out for himself. You know, when things are going good, it's okay, you know, the Republicans, yeah, but the second things are going bad, it becomes those Republicans, them the Republicans, you know, it becomes the Republicans and now his new other. And so, you know, we'll have to see what happens here. But, you know, the White House hasn't had a major win yet. They've had some really, really big losses. And, you know, hopefully with the new tax package coming down the pipeline, you know, Congress is able to put a win up on the board.
Lauren, lazy, lazy, lazy. Trump is a lazy man.
You know what? I'm actually shocked. I'm actually slightly impressed that this president has been able to stay in the White House as many days as he had. I was expecting him to spend all his time at Trump Tower or at some one of his resorts or something like that. He's actually stayed in Washington more than I thought. But from the Democratic perspective, I actually think that the Democrats should be happy that he's on vacation. He's burning a lot of days out of his presidency. They have about 450 days to the midterms. And frankly, I think from a strategic standpoint, the Democrats should be happy that he is not in town, that he's not on the job, and that he's pretty lazy. He doesn't know how to be president. We knew that this is going to be an issue with a person who has never run anything in the federal government, and here it is.
Hey, Scott, I want to go to you on this other topic. That is Arizona Senator Jeff Flake has a new book out. He's been going after Republicans. The book is called Conscience of a Conservative. He attacked the president and the Republican Party. Yesterday, on Meet the Press, he with the Republican Party has stood up against birtherism, the claim that President Obama was not born in the U.S., championed by guess who? Donald Trump.
I wish we as a party and elected officials would do more of that. Or when particularly ugly conspiracy theories go out, or are simply fake news, stuff that is just demonstrably false, we ought to stand up and say, hey, that's just not right.
Flake also said the Republican Party is in denial about the first few months of the Trump administration.
The behavior in the White House as well. I mean, referring to our colleagues across the aisle as losers or clowns is just not the direction to go if we are going to solve the problems in a conservative way that we need to. So I'll stand up every time to the president when he's doing things that I don't think he should be doing.
Except one problem, Scott. Last month, every Republican, including Jeff Flake, voted for the federal bench, a blogger who, guess what, wrote about birthers. Flake.
Are you a birther,
well,
Donald?
Okay. Let me just tell you, I was a really good student at the best school. I'm like a smart guy, okay? They make these birthers into the worst idiots. Why doesn't he show his birth certificate?
3 weeks ago when I started, I thought he was probably born in this country. And now I really have a much bigger doubt than I did before. He doesn't have a birth certificate, or he hasn't shown it. He has what's called a certificate of live birth.
All right, Scott.
How long do I have to answer this one? I'm sure you're only going to give me a few, maybe not even.
No, I'm just saying that Jeff Flake is also a hypocrite by saying we should have stood up to birthers when he just voted for a guy for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench who, guess what, who wrote a blog about birthers.
Exactly. Well, the hypocrisy lives in the Republican Party. Although I will say this about Jeff Flake. He can give reasons for why he voted the way he did. He also voted for the skinny.
No, he can't.
He can't do what?
No, he can't.
He can't do
what? You can't say we should have stood up to the birthers when you just voted for a birther to be on a federal bench.
Sure he can. He's a politician and he's a Republican and he's a hypocrite.
Well, I'm not going to let him get away with it.
Well, you don't have to get away. Don't let him get away with it. But what I will say about Jeff Flake, he's no friend of the Democrats or the progressives. But what I will say about this book, he speaks truth to power or truth to this White House where no other Republican elected official has done. I think my favorite line in the book is that this Faustonian deal that the Republicans have cut because they wanted control of all three houses was spot on, that the emperor has no clothes on, but we also checked, that is the Republicans, they also checked their reasonableness at the door and tried to convince themselves that Donald Trump could deliver what he was supposed to deliver on.
Got it.
That's powerful. And
Eugene?
But the thing is this.
I wasn't done.
Yes, you are.
The thing is this, you know, Scott has actually a very solid point here. You know, a lot of Republicans check their values at the door in exchange for power, which is something that, you know, a lot of us have railed against over the years. But, you know, Jeff Flake, you know, for a lot of the gripe that he's gotten from the right, He's absolutely correct. You know, the party should have pushed against harder against birtherism. The party should have pushed against harder against xenophobia and otherism that has happened over the last, that's taken place over the last 2 years.
What Jeff Flake is stating is obvious. You have to remember that Jeff Flake announced
for
the Senate.
Stated it.
Jeff Flake announced for the Senate a month after Gabby Giffords was shot. I don't remember a big deal, and this is an Arizona member of Congress, a colleague of his.
About 10 seconds.
I remember a big deal about that. This is the same guy that didn't say anything when Jan Brewer put her finger in the president's face, the governor of Arizona. Jeff Flake has never said anything. This is a branding campaign. That's what this is.
All right. Hold tight, folks. Coming up next, Bomani Jones talks about Colin Kaepernick still not signed to an NFL team. Is it time for us to boycott the upcoming NFL season? That is next. News One Now on TV One.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks. Of course, the upcoming NFL season will take place. So far, though, Colin Kaepernick does not have a job. No NFL team has signed him since he bought out of his contract with the San Francisco 49ers. There's been lots of conversation. Why? NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says, oh, no, there's no blackballing with Colin Kaepernick. Bruh, really? Are you serious? Have you seen the number of NFL quarterbacks who suck, who actually have jobs? And you're telling me a guy who took his team to the Super Bowl, to the NFC Championship game twice, somehow cannot play in the NFL? There is no doubt NFL owners are blackballing Colin Kaepernick because of his decision to take a knee. But there are people out here who are stupid, like Cordell Stewart, former NFL quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who said, Colin, he's too noisy. He should quiet down. His protest is too loud. Cordell, let me help you out. Maybe he took too many shots to the head from his ex-wife, Portia, okay? But here's the real deal. He took a knee. It was quiet. It wasn't loud. So what are you talking about? Then, of course, you have Ray Lewis running his mouth about what Colin Kaepernick should do. Really, Ray Lewis? Let's talk about character. I don't want to talk about that. Colin Kaepernick never in trouble in the NFL. Never a problem in the NFL. But owners don't want him on the team because they are basically saying, we about to punish you. How dare you? How dare you use your First Amendment rights? And how dare you kneel down when it comes to the flag? But none of these owners have said a word about police brutality. None of these owners have said a word about a lot of the crimes taking place in their cities. They don't actually care about the community. What they care about are those dollars. And many of them probably are scared that Donald Trump is going to fire a tweet out against them. Well, shortly we'll have to have the Tom Jones simulcast. Guys, pull them up, please. We're going to talk with ESPN's Bomani Jones about this. So let me hear Tom Jones, please.
Bullshit. Rolling.
Tom Jones, good morning. So, folks, we're going to talk about this right now, again, with Bomani Jones of ESPN. What is the show on? Every day, 4 p.m.? Dan Levitard.
Bomani.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's a really black name, Bill Arsenio.
Bomani. That's
no,
my
misses.
Man.
Here we go. No, he doesn't. Here we go.
From Washington, D.C., Roland Martin, good morning.
Oh, no, Tom, I'm here at the casino. Foxwood.
Uh-oh.
I'm at the casino, Tom. Foxwood Casinos in Connecticut, the 6th annual Jeffrey Osborne Classic. We kicked it off yesterday with the softball game. The West finally won. We beat them 19-11. We beat the East. And so that was great. Then, of course, the comedy concert last night, Chris Tucker, Seth the Entertainer, and J.B. Smoove rocked the house. And we have, of course, the golf tournament tomorrow. So, you know, I mean, Tom, somebody got to do this stuff. Somebody got to do it.
So big of you.
Somebody got to do it, Sybil. And, of course, later on TV One, we'll be chatting with Jeffrey Osborne himself. And, Tom, he is so nice to us. We all have sheer golf shirts. Because, you know, Jeffrey loves his sheer shirts.
Good. That's not nice.
Not so much for others.
Let's get right to it. Colin Kaepernick still does not have an NFL job. He's basically being blackballed by the NFL. Now, last year, I got into it with Doug Baldwin of the Seattle Seahawks, who felt that Colin Kaepernick should have taken a different approach, more inclusive when it comes to his protest. Looks like Doug Baldwin now has figured out Uncle Rowo was right.
My original position was I thought that, you know, the situation last year with him taking a knee didn't have anything to do with it. And after viewing what's going on, I got to take that back. You know, I definitely think that the league, the owner, they're trying to send a message of, you know, staying between the lines. And it is frustrating because, you know, you want to have guys who are willing to speak out about things that they believe in. You know, whether you agree with it or not, but I think that's definitely playing a role now, more so than I thought it was going to.
And yesterday, the Miami Dolphins signed the pathetic Jay Cutler to a one-year, $10 million contract. Joining us right now, ESPN's Bomani Jones. Bomani, let's just be clear. It's some scrubs, some sorry, low-down, should-not-be-playing minor league quarterbacks. The NFL is blackballing this brother.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue against it at this point. I think the one thing that happened with the Baltimore situation and then Miami is anybody who made it's just football argument is kind of lost that can't stand anymore. Even like if you didn't go to the dudes off the street that seem to be getting jobs, the dudes at the Ravens said it explicitly, basically, that this is not a football decision. They were going to call sponsors and everything else. And with Miami, it's definitely not a football decision. Like, it is clear that the protest is the reason why this young man does not have a job.
Bomani, can you recall an NFL owner calling sponsors when they hired wife beaters?
No. But see, here's the thing about that I think is interesting is the way that people perceive football players. I think they feel like when those sorts of things just happen, well, you know how football players are, right? Like, they feel like you got to break some eggs in order to make an omelet. On this one, they're like, there's no excuse for doing something like this, and they're going to ride this out as absolutely far as they possibly can until somebody has a smoking gun.
The New York Giants had a kicker who admitted beating his wife repeatedly, and they still had him on the team. Ray Lewis was charged with murder, but now he thinks he's Jesus.
Yeah, no one has a leg to stand on here, and that's what I think has been most interesting is that I think that a lot of people naively believed, well, once they don't have any more excuses, somebody will be forced to give them a job, and that's not how this works. Once they don't have any more excuses, they just stop making excuses.
And keep it moving.
Yeah.
So, Bomani, I ask you this question here. Do you believe you will see an organization, activists, call for black folks to boycott the NFL or other conscious folks? Do you think that's going to happen?
Yes. Now, the question is whether or not there will be a follow-through on it. But, you know, J.D. Power did a survey about a week ago where they said that more respondents who said that they watched less of the NFL last year said the reason they did was the protest. Now, if you looked at that survey, it was what I call a Family Feud survey where they give you the list of answers and then people pick one from what's there. Like, that's how it appeared to be. So it seemed to be skewed in that way. We did a poll on the ESPN Radio Twitter account that had more respondents who said that they would consider a boycott of the NFL because of this. Then there were respondents in the J.D. Power poll who said that the reason they watched less football was because of the Kaepernick protest. So I had more people on this poll who made that answer than this one that wound up making all of the news, and people got mad at me for even asking the question in the first place. I do think a lot of people are going to have a matter of principle they're going to have to come up on as to whether or not they're going to keep watching the NFL if this is how it's going.
And Roland and Bomani, do you think that a pollster like a black pollster like Cornell Belcher could do a poll and really get valid responses that J.D. Power would never get or would never go to those people?
No, absolutely. Like, I mean, I think there are a lot of people who are now frustrated in a way that they were not before. And I do think a lot of people like Doug Baldwin, who kind of held out hope in the more optimistic way as they could, that this would go differently. Anybody with a brain, I feel like, can see that what is going on here is an affront to all notions of meritocracy that we supposedly have in sports.
Well, the question
is, Roman,
can
we play the race card? Can we play the race card here?
Because that's all the cards I got in my hand right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like somebody else played.
Well, and remember.
Right.
And remember, that's one of the reasons why Colin Kaepernick was protesting, because of police brutality against black folks. And not a single one of these owners has stood up and said a word about that. I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bomani Jones, we appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
No problem,
Bomani, man. The golden voice of sports. I'm still looking up meritocracy.
Well, you know he has two economic degrees.
Lord, have mercy.
Hashtag no,
I can't
NFL.
I can't spell economics.
26 past the hour.
All right, folks, thanks a bunch. Coming up next on News One Now, police officers around the country have been fired for misconduct on the job, only to be rehired. We'll talk about why that is and the impact on policing in our communities. Also, I'll talk to a popular YouTuber, oh my God, who's so upset because Procter & Gamble, they have a new ad called The Talk that addresses racial bias in the United States. He's gonna be on the show. I hope he had his Wheaties. Also, Jeffrey Osborne will join me as well. All of that next, News One Now, TV One.
So you want the truth? Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it, I'm just straight.
It's News One Now.
Over the past 16 years, some of the nation's largest police departments have been forced to rehire officers that have been fired for police misconduct. According to an investigative report by the Washington Post, since 2006, some of the country's largest police departments have fired at least 1,800 officers for misconduct that betrayed the public's trust. But more than 450 of those officers were reinstated after appeals that are required by police union contracts. Data collected from police departments by the Post found that in Philadelphia, D.C., Miami, Dallas, and San Antonio, they had the most rehires of fired cops. The man who served as police chief in two of those cities had some tough words about the findings. Former Philadelphia and D.C. police chief Charles Ramsey said, quote, "It's demoralizing to the rank and file who really don't want to have those people in their ranks. It causes a tremendous amount of anxiety in the public. Our credibility is shot when these things happen." Joining us via FaceTime from St. Louis is Reddit Hudson, former police officer and co-founder of the National Coalition of Law Enforcement for Justice, Reform, and Accountability. Reddit, at the end of the day, this is the problem people keep talking about. Cops who are bad cops, the few bad apples, they continue to keep their jobs. No accountability whatsoever.
It's a major problem, Roland. And I would push back on the former D.C. and Philadelphia police chief a little bit relative to the rank and file being disappointed by the ability of officers to commit crimes and violate rights and then be rehired. I don't know that it's the rank and file that's really disappointed with that dynamic. I think the leadership in police service across the country may be somewhat disappointed. But when you add the things that they presented in that report to the constellation of courts, juries, the media, public opinion, all of which skews in support of police officers, you can see that this is a tremendous contributing factor to the impunity that a lot of officers act with around the country when it comes to violating our rights.
And Reddit, this is why this is not a red or a blue thing. This is not a progressive or conservative thing, because let's be clear, Democrats are huge supporters of unions. Republicans really hate unions, but Republicans love cops and their endorsements, so they love police unions. And the union contracts of cops is why this is a problem.
Hey, the legislative currency of police officers in the lobbies of state legislatures all over this country is heavy. And you're absolutely right. What we have to do is get to the bottom of why we see laws and policies and everything else in place to protect police officers over these years. You won't see, for example, in that report, any indication of the race of some of these officers that were rehired, because I guarantee you that race impacts that as well. Look at what happened in Minnesota just recently when the black officer shot the white woman from the passenger side of his vehicle, which, to my thinking, with that information, is a wrongful action. He's in the wrong. But in the aftermath of that, you saw the unions say nothing. You saw the police chief resign. You saw the mayor's resignation called for. So race impacts all of these things, as well as the legislative clout and clout that crime fighting has with people who make decisions about policy.
Scott, at the end of the day, a lot of Democrats depend upon union dollars. Those cops, they love those union endorsements as well. Nobody wants to go against these police departments.
The state legislature. Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, the thin blue line is alive and well on the lobbying side and the police bill of rights. And so our colleague who's talking is absolutely right about that. It just makes simply no sense. Having said that, it begins with the collective bargaining agreement. The executive and Democrat and Republican lawmakers and those negotiating those deals have to stand strong. And then the very police chiefs themselves have to implement their investigation on a timely basis. Many of those individuals who were forced to come back to work by the arbitrators simply did not meet the requirements under the collective bargaining agreement. They got to negotiate better deals. That would help.
But Lauren, when cops protect cops, when politicians depend upon their endorsements, and we know how the public responds, oh, a police union is endorsing said candidate, they must be the better person. Nobody wants to hold police accountable.
Right. Right now, police are effectively a protected class under the law. They're basically a protected class under the law. It's pretty amazing because even our military, we hold our military to a higher standard. Obviously, if you're a member of the military and you go overseas and you shoot somebody, there's usually a full investigation on that. I mean, so the idea that you would shoot somebody as a civilian police officer in the United States, and then you have this sort of, now we're passing laws where there's sort of this period where no one can question the cop. I mean, you have these special designations for civilian law enforcement in the United States that you don't have for any other job. And, you know, breaking that union is going to take a lot of political power and pressure until there's a point where people are thrown out of office over these issues. It's going to be very hard to change.
Eugene.
I'm a person that's against teaching union. I'm a person against public unions. And I think we're going to break up unions. The first union we break up is the police, as the FOP. I live in Baltimore. I've seen the damage that Leo Boer has done to communities. I've seen the damage that police unions have done to communities. You know, policing is Lauren's absolutely correct. The only one of the few special protected professions. I'm a firm believer that any police officer that's fired for misconduct, any police officer that's caught doing things like planting drugs, doing things like turning on their body camera, turning off their body camera, should lose their license to police and should be barred from ever policing again in this country.
Reddit, final comment from you. Bottom line is this here. When these contracts come up, these mayors are going to have to be tough with them and make it clear. Zero tolerance. I keep saying, if an officer lies on a police report, automatic firing. Period.
Absolutely, Roland. Accountability is everything, but I want to let your viewers know that the problem is even larger than what was represented in that article, because what it discussed was the rehiring of these problem officers to the large city departments that they came from. The remainder of those who didn't get rehired by the large city departments, I guarantee you found opportunities with smaller departments all over the country who liked the fact that they had the experience that they had and that they didn't have to pay for training these officers. Those officers go find work everywhere and do the same things over and over again.
All right. Reddit Hudson, we appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Folks, up next, a black man is one of the people leading the outrage about Procter & Gamble's new ad, The Talk, that addresses racial bias in the United States. Anthony Brian Logan will join me after the break to share his views. I think there'll be some pushback. Plus, Jeffrey Osborne will be joining us, talking about the Jeffrey Osborne Classic taking place here in Connecticut, where I'm broadcasting this morning. All of that next, News One Now on TV One.
Your centerpiece for black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Hey, folks, plenty of white folks are mad about Procter & Gamble's new ad out this week called The Talk. They're accusing the company of race baiting. Of course, we previously featured this ad. It's under the brand My Black is Beautiful. It shows black parents addressing racism with their children. Here is another sample.
Who said that?
The lady at the store.
That is not a compliment.
Listen, it's an ugly, nasty word, and you are going to hear it. Nothing I can do about that. But you are not going to let that word hurt you. You hear me?
There are some people who think you don't deserve the same privileges just because of what you look like. It's not fair.
The white folks aren't the only ones mad. A black YouTuber went on a 15-minute rant bashing the entire ad campaign. Anthony Brian Logan, whose YouTube commentary has got nearly 90,000 views, joined me on Skype from Virginia Beach to talk about why this ad makes him so angry. Okay, Anthony, what's the problem?
And it was kind of dramatic, and it was trying to push race to, you know, sell their products. That was my whole thing with it. I wasn't really upset. It was just kind of unrealistic and dramatic to push the product.
How is it pushing race to push their products? What product was being pushed in the campaign?
Well, their company, Procter & Gamble, they have a few products under their umbrella, if I'm not mistaken. And I went to
What product was pushed in the ad? What product did you see in the ad that was being pushed?
Oh, it wasn't a particular product. Like, it wasn't like, hey, you know, buy this.
Okay, but that's not what you just said. You said they were pushing their products in the ad. Did you see any products in the ad? Did you see any products flash on the screen? Did you see a product shown at the end of the commercial?
No, but you know how advertising is. You don't always show the product in
No. I know facts. And what you said is factually incorrect. Do you even know what the Mike Black is Beautiful campaign is?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Well, the Mike Black is Beautiful campaign, they're trying to basically talk about how, I'm kind of on the spot here. They're talking about.
Yes, you're on the spot. You're the live television show. Yes, you're on the spot. Yes, this ain't YouTube where you can start over.
You're doing a great job. But we'll say that. You're doing a great job.
I do a great job every day. I'm good. Like Maxine Waters said, I'm reclaiming my time. I don't need you telling me the great job.
All right, Maxine,
I'm asking you again, Anthony. Yes. Do you know what the My Black is Beautiful campaign is?
Well, from what I saw on the YouTube channel, it's a campaign trying to empower people, talk about different things, talk about the conversation of race. They're trying to empower black women, black people. That's what I saw from their YouTube, because I saw a bunch of their videos on the YouTube channel. So that's what I got from it.
Yeah, but right. So that's what the campaign is. So the campaign is about, yes, black is beautiful, because we know in the history of America how what is being defined as black has been seen as ugly, nasty, and not beautiful. There were no products being pushed in the campaign. So I'm still trying to understand, why are you upset with the campaign where it
I'm
is revealing a reality?
I think you're upset.
You're not upset? You had a 15-minute rant against it on YouTube.
It wasn't a rant. It was just a video. It wasn't a rant.
Oh, it wasn't a rant. It was just a video. So
just a video.
Again,
it wasn't a rant.
What is so upsetting about the ad which depicts reality for black folks?
You didn't answer.
Well, I'm not upset. I mean, upset or not upset. Yeah. I just gave my opinion about it. It was not a rant, and it was not being upset.
Okay. So was the talk ever had with you? Did your parents ever talk about this with you, or did you just go through life wonderful, and it was just a bag of chocolates?
Well, you know, life wasn't always perfect, but I never had this talk. And nobody I ever grew up with in my neighborhood, you know, low-income black areas my whole life, I never heard this from anybody that I knew, and not from my parents either. I didn't.
So let me ask you a question. So your parents never had a conversation with you about white cops, you being black?
Being nerd.
Really?
Yes, sir.
So nobody ever had a conversation with you about having to be twice as good and the reality of race in corporate America or when it comes to college or anything else?
Never. Not one time in my life. I've only seen that like on TV and stuff, but I've never seen that in my life. And nobody I knew in my childhood, like I said, grew up in low-income black areas. I never heard that from any of them.
I'm asking whether he's been a victim.
So you're a black unicorn.
Right.
I mean, that's your opinion, and I appreciate that. You know, I take it as a compliment from you, sir.
Of racism, come on.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm just trying to understand. Cause so you say it's not a rant. So what? You said that they were pushing products and they were not. So it's just you were just giving an observation.
Yes, I said in the video, this is my opinion. This is just my viewpoint. So I said that in the video.
Well, I mean, obviously it's your viewpoint. And so, yeah, we called you on here to discuss your viewpoint about it. So, but you're saying now it's not a rant. So you really weren't upset. You were just sharing just some general thoughts, right?
That's not the issue.
It's just my general thoughts, because the whole thing, I think from the ad, they were trying to say this is a normal thing that happens in black households. But for me, I never heard that. None of my friends heard that. To me, it was just kind of abnormal, in my humble opinion. So
but
I wanted
Anthony,
to get my viewpoint.
But you're probably abnormal. I know there are a significant number of people where there has been the talk about whether it's police, whether it's when you go out in public, trust me, a number of folks have had this conversation. So for you to say, hey, what me? Maybe you're like not the norm.
Well, you know, maybe in your age range, I'm a lot younger than you, so maybe in your age range you heard that, and that kind of makes sense. You know, coming from the 1960s and whatnot, it does make sense.
Younger black parents don't have these conversations. So these things just
My parents, are older than you, I'm pretty sure. But the thing is, I just never heard that. My parents are in
their
mid-50s.
Huh? Gotcha. I'm 48. I guarantee you, there are some parents right now with some kids. They've had a conversation. My sister, who is 47, got four kids. They've had this conversation. But okay. All right, Anthony, we appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Gotcha. Okay, then. Up next, Jeffrey Osborne will join me to talk about the Jeffrey Osborne Classic here at the Foxwood Casinos in Connecticut. Next, News 1-9 TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, y'all. Welcome back. Jeffrey was enjoying that previous interview we had on the show. Joining us right now, of course, the great singer himself. Y'all know his music. First with LTD, solo artist. And he joins us right now. We're, of course, at the Foxwood Casinos here in Connecticut, where he's having the 6th annual Jeffrey Osborne Classic. What's up, man?
What's up, bro?
No sheer shirt this morning?
No sheer shirt.
Now, have you retired the sheer shirts?
It's too early for that.
But have you retired the sheer shirts?
Yeah, I have. You know,
you have?
I'm getting a little older now, you know.
But you were wearing it for a long time, representing.
You know, I still got a little muscle shirt that I pull off. You know, I'm still representing.
So, man, we're here. So this is the first time you've had it here. Normally, so first of all, let me explain to people. Your charity is benefiting various charities in Rhode Island.
Yeah, exactly.
And black people are shocked. Somebody black is from Rhode Island.
That's true, yeah. But there's a lot of black people in Rhode Island.
Okay, a lot is I mean, not a lot.
Quite a few. Let's put quite a few. Especially when I was growing up. Now it's largely more Hispanic. Mm-hmm. You know, but when I was growing up, there was quite a few black people in Rhode
Island. And so I think this is my third or fourth year. I can't remember.
You've been here for
not all six, but I think it's the third or fourth year. And like I said, normally we've been there, and so you had it here.
Yeah.
You got some great guys who come out always to help you.
Always, we got great guys that seem to come every year. People like Smokey and Eddie Levert and Johnny Gill. And you've been on here consistently every year. We've had Magic for the last 5 years. And now being president of the Lakers, he's a little tired.
Yeah, he's on some yacht somewhere with his family.
Yeah,
I've been looking at the pictures, pictures on Instagram.
Yeah. So he usually vacations in July, but because now he has to do some pro.
Now he got a real job.
He got a real job.
He got to show up to the office.
Exactly. And he told me it was his dream job, the mm-hmm. job he's always wanted. So. He's happy with that.
And then, of course, last night we had the first of all the softball game yesterday.
Oh man!
And those of us who so first of all, you still have the softball game, and even though he wasn't here, Magic is the one who loves the softball game. He don't play golf.
No, he doesn't play golf.
But he loves the softball game.
He loved the softball game. That was his thing. That's why I decided to do the softball game. He said, "Well, let's do soft." The very first year we did a basketball. We did a little basketball game at Providence College. And then we flipped to a softball game. And softball game's been a lot of fun, though.
And so we had it yesterday. And then again, Chris Tucker was the star of the game yesterday.
He was the MVP yesterday.
Right. So I shot a bunch of video, folks. And so, of course, when all this is over, we'll put it together for a great package on the whole deal. So y'all will see Chris out here doing his thing. But he pulled his hamstring.
Yeah, man.
You know, he injured himself because, you know, before, a couple of years ago, Johnny Gill pulled his butt muscle. Y'all, Johnny, you had to call your guy who was a doctor
to
fix Johnny up.
Fix Johnny up, yeah. Well, you know, these guys don't stretch, man. They come out, they haven't played in a year.
But Chris stretched.
Did he stretch?
I had my stretch bands and everything. He was in there stretching, and he still hurt himself.
It's that quick muscle. It's that quick response muscle that gets you.
Right, because, see, my ankle's a little sore right now as well. That's going to mess up my golf game, but well, we have it together.
So that's the excuse for the golf game?
Hold on. We got video of your golf game.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, my golf game is a lot better now.
Your golf game is the East-West golf game.
No, it's not.
You ain't
it's
got north, north-south.
It's north-south.
Your golf game ain't north-south, Jeffrey. Don't even try it. It ain't north-south. Now, Corey, the last night we all said the comedy show, Sit the Entertainer, Chris Tucker, and J.B. Smooth. So J.B. was the... So y'all didn't tell anybody J.B. was going to be here.
No, I couldn't advertise J.B. because he has a show in this area about 2 weeks from now. So I really couldn't advertise him. So... it was kind of, we used them as a special guest. So we put, you know, Sid, Chris Tucker, and friends. And
well, and because the way the contracts work, they say that if you have a deal going on, you can't perform in a certain window.
As long as you don't
have it. Same thing in music.
Yeah, as long as you don't have it. It's a 90-day, 90-mile radius thing, you know. So, but it worked out great. I mean, JB was crazy funny.
Yes, he was crazy. He was a little ignorant last night.
Yeah, he was. And he asked me for the show. He said, do I have to be nice on this show? I said, oh, no, do your thing. He said, oh.
Basically, what he was saying is, can I cuss?
Can I cuss? Right?
Can I cuss? Can I cuss?
Oh, my God, he was funny.
So talk about some of the charities you help out.
Well, I work with the Rhode Island Philharmonic Orchestra. We work together to put music back in public school systems. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing that they drop out, you know.
Which is dumb.
It is dumb because, there's studies that show it actually helps kids with the curriculum. You know,
yeah.
It stimulates them.
The creative side. Exactly. I play the cornet in elementary school, bass, baritone, horn in middle school and high school.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I play trumpet.
Yeah. My brother played the trumpet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Sister played the flute, another played the clarinet. I had one sister who was in the band, and we ostracized her. Yeah, she got ostracized.
She did got ostracized.
Right. We look like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, you had to have someone to sit and critique you guys.
Yeah, but she was the youngest one. We're like, get your behind in the band. What's wrong with you?
That's funny.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm the youngest of 12. And
12?
I'm the youngest of 12. And out of 12 of us, 8 of us were into music. So there was a few that didn't, you know. But
so who else you help?
I helped the Rhode Island Philharmonic Orchestra. I helped the Boys and Girls Club. And because we're now moving into Connecticut, we're going to help the Boys and Girls Club here in Connecticut also.
Okay.
We help a place called the Amos House that come, they take people off the streets, they feed people every day. It's just one of those great community organizations. We help another organization called St. Mary's Home for Children, and they take in abused children. We help the Buttonhole, which is the only 9-hole course in Rhode Island. And they actually come to the schools during recess mm-hmm. and talk to kids about golf, teach them how to play golf. And we help the Met School, which is a alternative learning high school.
Cool. Like I asked you this here. Where the hell did Woo Woo come from?
Well, I didn't write Woo Woo.
Where they even came from? You ain't lying, because the publishing is major.
Publishing is major. It was written by two friends of mine. They brought it to me, and instantly I started singing the song when the studio came home. I played it for my daughter was 3 at the time. And she said, what's this, Dad? I said, it's called You Should Be Mine. She said, no, it ain't. That's the Woo Woo song. So I called the writer. I said, you better change the name of this song.
So did your daughter get credit?
Well, she should.
She get a publishing credit?
She should have got credit, right?
No kidding.
But yeah,
no, wherever you go, folks want to hear the woo-woo song.
That's right. I mean, it's a signature song for me, you know?
Yo, I'll tell you right, I love Stranger.
Oh, I decided to do that.
I was leaving the golf course. I was in Arlington, Texas. I was driving Mazda Miata, and a sister rolled up to me, and she said, nice song. I said, yeah, it is. Light turned green. I pulled up, go to the next red light. She said, bring back memories. I went, yeah, it is. Light turned green, pull off. I think she was trying to become a new memory, a new stranger memory.
She was a stranger.
Yeah, she was a stranger. And she was trying to become a new stranger.
A new stranger, right.
Let me go to a break. I'll be back 60 seconds. News 1-9 TV 1 with Jeffrey Osborne.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Birthday shout-out, David Mann from TV 1's hit show The Man's turns 51, and former President Barack Obama turned 56 on Friday, and former First Lady Michelle Obama tweeted out these vintage pics. So again, happy birthday to President Barack Obama. Tonight you got the sponsors reception. That always turns into a concert.
Oh, it will tonight too.
I mean, it just turns into, I mean, look, 1 year was Smokey going against Eddie and Johnny Gill. I shot the video of that. I mean, that's crazy.
That was crazy, yeah. And it happens every year. It's kind of spontaneous. You know, we'll got my band there, so they just start playing a song.
Well, I don't sing. I get paid to talk. So
you do a great job of that.
But I'm almost also shooting video too.
Okay. Yeah.
So you know I'm always I got my cameras.
Okay. We got a couple of other people. You know. Okay. We got Mike Phillips on sax.
All right.
He'll probably play a little bit. We got John.
So we're gonna have a lot of that on the show. But we got to go right now.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.